The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you at 3 minutes past nine. It's Thursday morning, it is the 28th of November 2019. Tis the day before Toy Show and we're very, very excited here this morning. Obviously, lots to talk about between now and 10 o'clock. You can email ryan at rte.ie and text 51551. I've been up since very early this morning, such is the nature of this week. And you can follow the adventures on Instagram. If you go to Insta Tubridy, you'll see everything from the dressing room this morning to wandering through the campus to making coffee. That's if you care enough, that's what you can. It's a little added value to the following of this whole affair. And I'll give you more details today about what you can do today and tomorrow and tonight in advance of and in anticipation of the Toy Show. I mentioned that I was struggling to buy an advent calendar in the shop the other day, and I took one from the pile, three fell down, and then I tried to put those three back up and another six came down from another shelf, and then for some weird reason, one that I wasn't even touching started falling down, and I found myself surrounded by advent calendars. By advent calendars, I don't mean the flat ones with a little picture behind them. I was looking at ones with chocolate in them, a particular type of chocolate. And it sparked a memory for Julie O'Gorman, who's in Malahide, and she emailed to say, listen to your experience regarding the Lindt advent calendar and your struggle with replacing the calendar onto the shelf. And you reminded me that I needed to purchase that exact calendar for my two daughters, Grace and Sophie. A few days later, in my local food store, having found the Lindt calendar, I smiled when I saw that the Angry Birds calendars were right beside them. As I reached in to get the Lindt calendar, to my horror, the entire shelf of Angry Bird calendars proceeded to fall out on top of me and onto the top to the shop aisle. I started to giggle so much that the tears rolled down my face as I picked up the fallen Angry Birds, much to the amusement of my fellow shoppers. So I love your show, and can you please say hello to my three wonderful angels, Grace, Sophie, and their younger brothers, Charlie, who are all bursting with excitement for the Toy Show, which is pretty much an exciting time for one and all. And there's like a sub-economy going on with the Toy Show. I've got loads of people sending me in, particularly on an Instagram, this photographs of the Toy Show packages that they're doing of cakes and cupcakes and sweets. Then you've got the pajama famine there is at the moment because no one can buy them anywhere. They're sold out everywhere, which is great in the sense that I know that the chunk of money from the Penny's pajamas go to Temple Street Children's Hospital. So that's why I don't mind mentioning that this morning. Now, what about running a restaurant or a hotel or anything like that in the current climate, that being the climate of faux diet people? These are people who come in and say, are the nuts in that? And if they're nuts, are they organic? And can I have organic nuts that aren't made? They have to be from Guatemala, picked by the hand of a unicorn made out of marshmallows. And these people are wrecking the heads of chefs and restaurant owners the world over. And it's not, this isn't a pop at people with serious dietary requirements. So don't bother texting because we won't read them out. Given out. But what I am saying is people with makey-uppy dietary requirements, they're the ones that are the troublesome ones. A frustrated restaurant owner has hit out at diners with faux dietary requirements who are killing the industry with ludicrous requests. And this woman published a list of demands from one table of fussy festive season diners to highlight the problem blighting the business. And more than a dozen issues were raised by the five customers, ranging from an allergy to rare meat to a dislike of gazpacho. I mean, this is what they have to put up with. And this is killing the catering industry. It's our biggest challenge, they say. Not the genuine allergies, but the faux dietaries. As she said, the issue of fake allergies seems to go into overdrive in December. Another said that I had 19 dietary requirements on a lunch for 50 people last week. And they, again, happy to look after genuine allergies, but the makey-uppies are driving them mad. In April this year, one chef, an award-winning chef, said he had been stunned to complete a full service without any nonsensical special requests from customers. And the chef was so pleased that he actually took to the internet to explain why he was so happy. A college in the UK, Jesus College, it's happened to be called, is set to return a controversial bronze cockerel. And this cockerel was looted from Africa in the 19th century. Would you not imagine that there are buildings the length and breadth of the United Kingdom full of cockerels and every other farm animal you care to mention looted from colonies and defeated countries? And if this... So what are they to do? We all began with the Elgin Marbles years and years ago, and that turned into a big row. Remember that rumbling on throughout the 80s. But if you're a country, this is really interesting, if you're that had an empire like British Empire, or indeed any other empire, and you got stuff down through the years, in 2019, is the sensibility to say, well, that was history and you won that war and therefore you had that stuff? Or is it reworking things and saying, well, actually it was history, yeah, but that belongs to that country and therefore they should get it back without any discussion? Well, anyway, back to the cockerel, because the cockerel is very important in the sense that this could be the tipping point in this conversation for historians and for countries around the world. It's a sculpture known as the Benin Bronze. It was stolen by Victorian explorers and resided in this college since 1905. And then in 2016, the students protested and called it, they said, get rid of it. It celebrates here's the quote, colonial narrative, and that they want it out. So they removed it from public view. And these protests came in the wake of the Rhodes Must Fall campaign to remove the statue of Cecil Rhodes, who was a colonialist, obviously, in the 19th century, from a different college. But for the past 3 years, since removing the sculpture from public view, university dons have been deliberating over whether to repatriate it to its native Nigeria. And they have decided to do just that. And off it goes back to where it came from. And that'll be very, very interesting to see. Is that the beginning of it now? Is that what they're going to be doing? I was asking for ages and ages, just while we're on the subject of international niceties. The news was driving me mad one morning. It was just so depressing. And I turned on to Marty and Lyric, and he was playing The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. And I said, I love this piece of music. And it put me in great form. And I thought, that's great. Because the news was all very, you can't eat that, you can't go there, you can't do this. And it was just too preachy and it was driving me nuts. So I went on to the Queen. I said, who? And I asked the question there, who was the Queen of Sheba? And a man very kindly, what's his name? Is Michael Lawyer, sent in a lovely handwritten note saying that he's been doing research on, indeed, the Queen of Sheba, and sent me this document saying, that there was a Betty Blythe of the biblical Queen of Sheba, that was a movie made in 1927, was there. But for many years, the Queen of Sheba was traditionally thought to be from Ethiopia. But over the years, after exhaustive research and digs, no archaeological or historical evidence of her being from Ethiopia has ever been unearthed. Most historians now believe her to be from somewhere in southern Arabia. So this guy, Michael, went back to the Old Testament again, this time to read the story of the visit of the Queen of Sheba to King Solomon in his temple in Judea. This is the important bit. I know it might bore you to death, but I'll keep it really short because it just means you have it in your head next time you hear this piece of music. To make a long story short, he writes, Sheba, having heard of the great wisdom of Solomon, loaded up a caravan of camels with precious gifts and spices to offer to Solomon and made the long journey to his temple to seek proof of his great wisdom. And all went well, and Solomon could answer all of Sheba's riddles, and he sent her happily home with reciprocal gifts of his own. But they couldn't find any clues in this Bible story as to the location of Sheba. But then you have the Quran, which says that Solomon was so wise that he could talk to the birds, which I thought was really interesting. Like Francis of Assisi meets Dr. Doolittle. And one day a little bird, a lapwing to be specific, told Solomon, as in a little bird told me, right, that's kind of nice, that there was a queen in the south who prayed to false idols. So Solomon summoned Sheba, said, go over here, over to the temple. And she loaded up a caravan of camels and precious gifts and spices, long journey to the temple. And after a few embarrassing moments of Solomon being able to see up Sheba's skirt, apparently the original upskirting crime, Solomon accused Sheba of trying to bribe and seduce him into allowing her to keep her false idols by bringing him her precious gifts. And he sent that devious woman home with zero reciprocal presents. And as further punishment, he commanded spirits from the sky to destroy one of Sheba's two gardens. And I'd say she was devastated. And of course, it's a classical piece of music. Let me give you a flavour of one of my favourite versions of it, which is that of the great fiddle player, Mr. Frankie Gavin. That's weird. You listen to that whole piece. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you didn't get the top of it, let me just see if I can give you flavour this way. Oh, I think that's gorgeous. That would put you in good form. That's Frankie Gavin's take on the Queen of Sheba, the arrival of the Queen of Sheba. Absolutely beautiful. B was on to say, do you not think the whole coffee thing has gone crazy? Anything except an ordinary Americano. Is it to gain some self-importance? I don't know. I'm just happy to have a... There's just more words in it now. So you say an Americano with a drop of milk. I just want a coffee. And it's become more complicated. I agree. And a cafe owner called Kira Burke in Delique has been on to say, I like vegan food, but I hate vegans. This isn't going to be an anti-vegan show this morning, I promise you. So it was just a comment about the fake dietaries. Jerry Dempsey was on, I like vegetarian cookbooks. When you add meat, the recipes are gorgeous. Well, that's just being disruptive and bold. But I like your style. According to the IrishTimes.com, it will be mandatory for dog owners to carry a litter bag when out with their pets in public if a new bill introduced in the Dáil is passed. The legislation is aimed at a small minority of dog owners who simply do not give a damn what their dogs do and have no real fear of being caught or penalised under current legislation. This is the Litter Pollution Amendment Dog Litter Control Bill from Sinn Féin TD Sean Crow, who said that the existing laws are not fit for purpose. It is an offence for a dog owner not to pick up their dog's fecal matter, but our parks, footpaths, beaches and community areas are still littered with dog excrement, he said. The problem with existing regulation is in part because a dog warden has to actually witness a dog fouling and the owner leaving the waste behind to pursue a prosecution, which sounds a bit ludicrous. Mr. Crow stressed that it is not anti-dog owner legislation, but was pro-health and pro-trying to eliminate the practice. I'd say nothing wrong with any of that, in fairness to him. Amy says, does that mean that all the Scandinavian countries should return all items looted by the Vikings? It's ridiculous. It's a part of history. Returning these items won't change the past. Yeah, it'll certainly change the face of museums everywhere if you suddenly say, well, I want that, that, you took that, and you took that in the 17th century, and then, yeah, and then you came over and you took, yeah, and then you knocked us off there. Yep, gone. And we have mummies, do we not, in the National Museum, and do they return? We have a pile of plunder from Africa stored in the National Museum. There you are, from Ken McHugh, who's a cultural planner. Whatever happened to the Museum of Ethnography, planned to house the exhibits in Collins Barracks. It was also proposed to establish an intercultural centre in the now empty buildings there. Well, they must be in abeyance, plans-wise. And break a leg tomorrow night. Thank you. We are looking forward to it so much so that my wife has made me promise to pause it till she gets back from her 15-hour day as a poll clerk just after 10 p.m. tomorrow. Have a wonderful time. Thanks, Tom. I can't tell you the magical work that the team this year has put together. They're a brilliant, brilliant bunch of people, and they just get Christmas and they get the spirit of it all. And it is, we're extremely excited. And I had a sneak preview of the set with yesterday, and it is one of the most magical I've ever seen. And Marcella Power and her crew put together every year these beautiful sets. But I have to say, this year they've surpassed themselves. I said, please, can we have a real sense of Christmas about the place? And they got the memo. And you will see it tomorrow at 9:35, I promise you. Okay, look, on that toy show thing, I'll come back to that in a second. Right, 51551 is the text number. Loads of places to go today with you. I see, I was talking about Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott, who I went to see in the Trinity Sessions, but they're back in, it looks like April 2020, and they're going to be playing the Three Arena. I promise you, you will not be disappointed by that gig because they are superb. And while this isn't them, it kind of is. Wonderful, and as House Martins and Happy Hour, love that. 19 minutes past nine, class song. Haven't heard that in ages as a text, and it is a class song. And songs always sound a little better as well when you're not listening to them on your own phone, but listening to them on the radio. Mary Kehaly has been on by email to say, in the course of a phone call last night, with my daughter, Una, in Berlin, I was slagging her by reminding her that she was missing that annual landmark event on Friday, the toy show. Aber 9! She will watch it in the Irish Embassy in Berlin. Mein Gott, she has her ticket booked for a family-friendly screening, public screening, for those who are interested and allowed to stay up past their bedtime to watch it. You will, I'm sure, be too busy to give Una a shout-out on the day, on the toy show night, but maybe you could say Guten Morgen to her on your radio show, which I'm doing as we speak. And while you're at it, a big hello to her brother Owen, just back in Australia this morning after a brief trip home. Looking forward to the 2019 Christmas jumper and all the antics. Oh, I'm wearing a horror show jumper this morning. In some ways, I wish we were online so you could watch us on the webcam. But in others, it's nice because your eyes won't be as offended. This is a rotten jumper. It's the 12 Days of Christmas represented kind of in cartoon, and it's particularly bad. Now, Shannon Featherston has been writing for RTE Lifestyle, a very useful question and answer guide to everything you need to know about the Late Late Toy Show 2019. Where you can watch it, where you can tune in, who'll be there, what's the theme. Well, she can't say that, but she does say Tubbs is a fan of Kermit after all. I cannot tell you how much of an influence that amphibian was and has been and continues to be in my life. Anyway, on it goes. When did it all begin? Who's tuning in? What to watch in the lead up, including the Late Late Toy Show Unwrapped, which was on last night, and it'll be on again tonight at 7. It's a nice little preamble to the actual event, and I think you'll enjoy that. And you also have RTE Junior on the radio. Hanako O'Donnell, who did an interview with me last week, has podcast behind the scenes of the making of the Late Late Toy Show. I was deeply impressed by her as a young person in terms of her ability with personality, really shining person, and I hope life is kind to her because she deserves it. She's just one of life's good young people. Delighted. Now, Santos O'Garo continues to elicit a response from our listeners. Santos was with us originally from the Caribbean, from Montserrat, and then more recently from Dublin, and she was talking about getting rid of her debt. And we got a great response to her, and people are going online to follow her, our Instagram story, and are completely inspired by her. And she wrote us a message on foot of the response she got. And her message is in particular, it's intriguing. And again, and it's a word I don't like to bandy about, inspiring, but I was just so impressed by it. I'm going to share it with you. She says, I've been getting so much feedback since I was on the show about people's situations. Some of it was shocking and sad and some hopeful. And all of it has been positive. I was in tears this morning reading some of them. And I'll definitely keep you guys updated. This is my passion. It's something I believe in. And I know some people offered to help me out. But ultimately, my goal is to have financial freedom on my own. And it's important to me to show that it is possible to do it on your own. Also, can you imagine my mum hearing me take handouts? It's a lesson I need to follow through and learn in on my own, because I'll never do it again. But I'd like to thank you and the team for allowing me to tell my story and to hopefully start a dialogue. I'm forever grateful from the bottom of my heart. You, Santos O'Garo, are what I would call a class act. And that's impressive on about 10,000 different levels. Happy Christmas to you. The couple that wrote in to say that they couldn't afford to fix the boiler were back on, or at least the lady and the couple were back on to say, we got the boiler fixed yesterday, so the heating and the hot water are back on. And yes, I had to use the money I borrowed from that awful loan company. I threw in awful myself, because they just add really horrible debt onto people's lives, to their loan company towards my two children's presents. People are so good, and I was just so upset yesterday and over the weekend, and we'll manage somehow, and we will pay back and what we owe over the next 6 months, as we always do. There are people worse off than me who could do with the help at this time of the year. I know that. I was just trying to highlight that we both have good jobs, but like a lot of working families out there, it's tough, and some weeks and months are tougher. But thank you again, and to those people who wanted to help, I can't thank them enough. As Del Boy says all the time, this time next year we'll be millionaires. But I wish you all the best, and I appreciate you reading out the email. It has made me smile on my journey to work, and you deserve to smile. You are also a class act. And, you know, I mean, Santos mentioned that her mother would give out for taking a handout. There's no shame in getting a hand up, which is a big difference to a handout, and because you can give that back when you're up. Do you know what I mean? So don't see it as some sort of alms for the poor. It's not that. It's actually somebody saying, help you out? Yep. You help me out later? Yep. Good. It's just kindness and decency and the circle of goodness. That's what it is. 51551. Bernie says, as a celiac, I'd like to send my appreciation to all restaurant people. The chefs, the waiting staff, the managers, for the great improvement in how they look after us. It's a long time since I was given a huge tower of cos lettuce with nothing else, not even oil or dressing for a starter. It was so bad I had to laugh. Anyway, sure, it was far from cos lettuce, etc, etc. Well done, Bernie. Ryan says, Stephen in Portlaoise, I'm glad you are discovering Handel. World heritage artefacts ought to belong to all, and whoever curates and tends to them best. I would trust the British Museum with these objects ahead of many others. Interesting take. Well said, Stephen. Kevin in Cork says, growing up in Cork, anyone who's seemed to be really comfortable or cosy and even a bit lazy, like propped up on a sofa with a pile of cushions, was said to be, you're like the Queen of Sheba. Yeah, and here she comes. Here she comes now, the Queen of Sheba. You know, there's a bit of that about it, but thank you for that. 51551 is the text number. A quick email on Toy Show, which came in. It's just, there's so much nice stuff that's come in. I want to share it with you. Helen Watch and the third class mammies of Mulhussy National School in County Meath have been on. Dear Ryan, Christmas is a nice time to recognise all our wonderful teachers who nurture and foster our children's primary education. We are blessed to have Mr. Dan Buckley, a Cork native, who teaches first, second and third classes in our small rural school in Mulhussy in County Meath. In his second year teaching at Mulhussy National School, he again sets the scene of the Late Late Toy Show, and he invites all the pupils to bring in their favourite toy to showcase. And he plays the Late Late Show theme music, and Mr. Buckley becomes Ryan Tubridy, who interviews each child. And this is the children's moment to shine, building and nurturing self-esteem and confidence through this creative learning. And Mr. Buckley represents the many wonderful teachers who go above and beyond. They are always encouraging and inspiring our children for the future. We just thought we'd share you with you in preparation of the toy for the toy show and excitement it is building at Mulhussy National School. Best of luck. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, third class mammies. And thank you indeed to Mr. Buckley. And sure enough, he has a questionnaire that they've, a quiz for the kids that they've sent me as well, which talks about the toy show and you have to answer what year did it start and who did what year did Ryan Tubridy take over. And then the question that kind of depressed me a little bit, but in a funny way, who presented the show when you were born, Ryan Tubridy? Oliver Callan will be presenting the show tomorrow, so you'll have great crack with him. I'll be back with you on Monday morning because I've got a little work experience number tomorrow night. I have to get involved. Oh gosh, it's very exciting. Things we never expected David Gray to say, chapter one. He said, I apologise for the abhorrent colonialist tones of our current Prime Minister and his cohorts. If you can rhyme that, he's got a new album on his hand. Now, elsewhere, we should mark the passing of Clive James. Sorry to say Clive James died. He was on Tubridy Tonight once upon a time.
I've always had this problem of extreme physical attractiveness.
You're a man.
Actually, to speak the truth for a solitary moment, that was one advantage I always had in TV. Is I was obviously never going for the glamour stakes. I was trying to achieve something through speech or through talking or mainly through listening.
That's the late Clive James. Sorry to hear that he passed away, but I think he'd been ill for some time. And he was so distinctive, wasn't he, as a broadcaster? And he brought something quirky and different to 80s television, certainly, and more in his writing more recently. That's where we're going to leave it for today. Sean O'Rourke is standing patiently by, so be sure to stay tuned for him. Stay tuned for Oliver tomorrow between 9 and 10. And I'll see you tomorrow night for the Late Late Toy Show 2019. It's going to be huge. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1.